Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Hour two of Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Tiki Barber. BT is out for the day, but I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Give us a call here at 855-212-4227 or hit us up on social media at Tiki Barber on Twitter. We're joined now on the line from a guy who's turned into a stud from the Milwaukee Brewers. Starting pitcher Zach Davies joins us. 5-0 on the season so far in 11 starts. Got a 2.19 ERA. Zach, thanks for hopping on with us. How you doing?
Hey, Tiki, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I cannot complain. Now, I was looking through your bio, really your wiki page, because everybody looks at Wikipedia to find information on people. And you're from Arizona. You committed to go to Arizona State, which is where our producer, Mike Samter, worked before coming out to the East Coast. But then you got drafted. I always wonder this question. Like, how do you make the decision, or why did you make the decision to forego college and go right into the minors? And it was like a 3 or 4 year process before you finally got called up, got traded, but then finally got called up. Why'd you decide to take that route as opposed to the college route?
I think the biggest benefit nowadays is that pretty much in every signing bonus, schools included. And I knew the reason why I wanted to go to college was to play baseball.
Yeah.
And so with the education included in my signing bonus, and it was something that I felt was life changing for me, and it was a good situation. And I thought the benefits to go play pro ball right away were great. And I ran with it, and I'm thankful for that opportunity.
Yeah, no, it's worked out for you. Obviously, you have a fantastic season. You had a great 2017 as well. I think 17-9 you were that season. And this season is interesting. And let me back up though to when you first came up with the Brewers. It was 2015. We know there was a managerial change. Craig Counsell took over midway through the season, and it's been a steady build for the Brewers since then. You were 68 wins that year, but then 73, 86, 96 last season. You ultimately lost in the NLCS to the Los Angeles Dodgers. But what has Craig Counsell brought that's changed, I guess, the feel, the emotion, the success of this Brewer squad?
I think when Counsell took over, it was a perfect scenario where he could kind of feel out the way the organization was moving and, get to know the new guys that were coming into the org. And, he was an ex-player and for a long time had a great career and ended up, becoming a manager for us. And, he's got a great feel for the game. He thinks like a manager too. And, I think everything he does in the clubhouse is towards the players and has a good feel for that.
Yeah, Zach Davies, Milwaukee Brewers pitcher, joining us here on Tiki and Tierney. The Brewers are half a game behind the Chicago Cubs right now in the Central, so things are working out very well for you all. What's been the secret to your success this season? It's 11 starts, as we mentioned. I know there was one that was kind of blown for you a couple days ago, but 5-0 on the season. You're pitching fantastic. What's been different? What's working well from you this year?
And I think coming into the season, my first goal was being healthy. I missed quite a bit of time last year from being on the DL, and so I think going into the off season after I came back at the end of the year last year, being healthy and being able to have a normal off season and work on everything that I needed to do to prepare for this year, I think the number one thing for me was just being healthy. And then once I checked all those boxes, it was just getting back to work and doing what I do best.
Yeah, one of the things that we were noticing just looking through the statistics is that the bullpen is not that they're struggling, but it's not been as efficient or effective as in previous years. Is that more pressure on you guys as starting pitchers to go deeper? We know it's all about analytics, and that's what happened, I think, 2 weeks or whenever the game was, 2 days ago, where you got pulled in the sixth inning and then it got away from them. But is there more pressure on you guys now?
I think it's just the feel of the clubhouse, the relationships on the team. I think everybody has confidence in whatever guy is on the mound or behind you on defense or up in the box. So I think, you know, all that's kind of put to rest. Once you go out there, you pitch your game, and then once you hand the ball over to the next guy, you know, I think there's total trust in the next guy that comes out there. And, you know, it's not always going to happen the way that you planned or the way you thought, but I think everybody has confidence in the person sitting next to them in the locker room, and that makes it just that much more comfortable on the field.
Yeah, I think it was 3 days ago. Were you frustrated by that? Do you get frustrated when you get the ball pulled for you? Because you pitch great over six innings. Do you get frustrated by that? Because it's all analytics nowadays, or at least that's informing a lot of the managerial decisions and the rotation decisions. Does that frustrate you?
You know, I think there's really no frustration. I think, you know, if your pitching warrants the opportunity to pitch later into the game, then, you know, both Council and Hook, our pitching coach, they know that, and they continue on in the game. So I think, you know, you go out there and the decisions that are made from a managerial point, that those are out of your hands, and, you know, those are things that you can't control, so nothing that you need to be frustrated about.
Yeah. Do you keep track of, like, your pitch count, things of that nature? Is that something you, like, internally, just for your own personal, you know, I guess records or progress going forward? Do you worry about pitch count? Because you've only been over 100. I think Samter just told me twice so far on the season, 11 starts. You think about those things?
Pitch count for us, it's more of a kind of a baseline for how long you're going to pitch in the game. You know, I think once you start creeping up to the 85, 90 pitch mark, and, you know, you're waiting for the next guy up. So I think once you settle in your game and you kind of try and limit the pitches early on, so you extend your outing. But, you know, pitch counts, other than, you know, getting up into the hundreds, don't mean too much nowadays.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, the pitching warrants if you're going to pitch deeper into the game.
You're right. Zach Davies, Milwaukee Brewers pitcher. He's right up there with the ace of this Milwaukee Brewers staff. Brandon Woodruff is having a fantastic season as well. But let me move to the offensive side of your team. I mean, watching Christian Yelich has got to be exciting as hell. At least when he's backing you up, and Lorenzo Cain's having a great year. Ryan Braun as well. What is Yelich brought to this squad? And it came over, obviously, a couple years ago. But what does he mean to this team?
You know, the last half of last year for Yelly was incredible. It was something amazing to watch that, you know, I was glad I was on this side of the ball watching it.
Yeah.
Just being a part of something that special, and, you know, just seeing him take off and carry this team through into the playoffs was incredible. And, you know, he hasn't really stopped doing that this year. You know, it's just a continue from last year.
Yeah.
And you know, he's a great guy. He's an incredible athlete, and you know, he's in tune with everything that he needs to do hitting wise. And, you know, if you ever go into the batting cage and you hear about how he's swinging and how he prepares, it's pretty impressive.
No, I mean, he's easy to root for too. I mean, I don't know him from Adam. We've never talked to him on the show, but he just feels like he's a good dude. You know, he's down to earth, and he's not, you know, overly showy or bombastic. He feels like a great teammate, and obviously he's a great player.
Definitely. You know, he does it the right way. He goes about his business. He puts a ton of work in, and, you know, that's kind of the vibe of this entire team, that, you know, we're ready to play. We're going to put the work in, and, you know, like I said, everybody in the clubhouse are friends with each other, and there's no drama.
Yeah.
And you know, it makes it a really fun time for us to play out there.
We're talking to Milwaukee Brewers starting pitcher Zach Davies here. What's the crowd like up there in Milwaukee? We know what it is for football, obviously, with the Packers. We saw the Bucks have a fantastic run, even though I think it ended prematurely for a lot of people's liking. But what's the crowd like up there for baseball? Milwaukee fans or Wisconsin fans are always fantastic.
You know, yeah, like you said, Milwaukee fans love their sports, you know, whether it's basketball, football, baseball. You know, last year at the end of the year when we were going on our run, and, you know, I think we went down to Chicago for game 163, and, you know, it was a packed house, both Brewer and Cubs fans. So that was awesome to see. It was great support. And you know, they deserve a winning team, and it's been fun to give that to them for the last year and a half now.
Yeah, you guys just were a little bit short against the Dodgers last year, but it is exciting. Zach Davis is joining us here. Zach, we saw something 2 days ago, I think it was 2 days ago, in Houston, and it was a scary situation against the Cubs, obviously your division rival, where a young girl got drilled by a line drive. Do you guys think about, like, the fan safety at all? I mean, we hear these stories one or two a year, and it pops in the forefront of our minds. But do you guys think about this fan safety, and what should Major League Baseball do?
I think if you watch a baseball game and you see any hitter in the box and they hit a hard line drive down either the left field or right field line, they tend to kind of see it at first and they kind of grimace and look away because they realize that, you know, you got 35, 40 people in a section that are all going for a ball that's coming in at 100+. And, you know, it's really scary knowing that guys on the infield, guys in the outfield that have to play behind that and the average fan that's not on the professional level, how tough that actually is. So I think as the players, 99%, 100% of the guys are all for extending nets and trying to provide as much safety as possible, because we know that the fans come to the games are what keeps us playing.
Yeah.
You know, the support, the fans, the following, that's incredibly important to us, and we know that their safety should also come first out there.
Yeah, no, I think it's a no-brainer. And you talk to many people, it's like cell phone issue, whether they're looking to look at a text message or actually preparing to take a picture or something, you're just not prepared for the speed of a ball coming. You know, who knows what the exit velocity is, but it's all measurable these days. Zach, I really appreciate you hopping on with us. Good luck with you with the rest of the season. I know you guys are prepared to go farther this year. Obviously, the Dodgers have been a couple years in a row. So good luck to you going forward, and I appreciate you hopping on, Zach.
Hey, thanks, Tiggy. Thank you for having me.
Be good. Zach Davies, starting pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers, having a fantastic season. 2.19 is his ERA. 11 starts, 5-0 he is. They're a fun team, the Milwaukee Brewers. If you don't watch a ton of baseball, you should try to catch them when you can, because Christian Yelich, obviously the MVP last year, and Lorenzo Cain and Mike Moustakas, they bang a ton of home runs. And so obviously they have good pitching, as I was just mentioning, Woodruff and Davies, but they're also going to give you a lot of offense as well. The NFL is potentially getting ready for a major CBA battle, but the owners have a new idea that could probably be a little bit of a sticking point. We'll get to that on the other side of the break. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Are you taking good care of your car? Show your vehicle some love at O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you'll get better parts, better prices every day. They have the parts you need to get the job done right, from measuring tools, mechanic wire, and motor oil, to cylinders, starters, and springs. From batteries, belts, and brakes to filters, fluids, and fuses, O'Reilly Auto Parts has it all. O'Reilly's stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. It's one-stop shopping for all your vehicle needs. Need something? The store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help. And if you don't have time to get to a store, shop O'Reilly online. You can have your order shipped directly to your home or go right to the store. Want to buy even more stuff? Become an O'Reilly O Rewards loyalty member, and you'll earn points every time you shop, no matter how you shop. Reach 150 points and earn a $5 reward. Keep going and earn double points, bonus points, even mega points. Plus, get exclusive email-only offers. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news is a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki Barber here on CBS Sports Radio. Tiki and Tierney chatting about the NFL. We're going to get to football at the 40s. Lots of topics to discuss in football at the 40s. But this segment, I want to focus a little bit on this pending labor issue that's about to come forward and after the 2020 season, so it'll affect the 2021 season. We've already heard D'Amore Smith telling NFL players to start saving money now, like prepare for a lockout, which it's probably posturing, which is no different than the NFL saying, well, we want an 18-game schedule, which is also probably posturing. There's lots of things that we remember from the 2011 lockout. That's when the owners, crying poverty, I use that word lightly, but crying poverty, locked out the players because they needed a higher share of league revenues. And the players got distracted by a lot of other different things, and ultimately the guaranteed contracts and other things that were, I think, more important kind of got pushed away. I don't think that's going to happen this time around. But let's start with this 18-game schedule. Do you want to see 18 NFL games? I wonder. Because I think about this sometimes, and I ask, as a former player, would I have wanted to play 18 games, 18 regular season games? Obviously, you play 20 because you have four preseason games, even though you don't really play. But would I have minded 18 regular season games? And the actual answer is no. I would have liked to have played 18 games because it would have resulted in being paid more. It is what it is. And that's really what this comes down to, is the NFL wants to bring in more revenue. We know what the stated goal is by the National Football League. By 2025, they want to have 20 or two or so billion in league revenue. Right now, league revenue is roughly $14 billion. So they got a little bit of a ways to go. But they're already starting to make progress to get there. Number one, why do you think you see all these new stadiums? Not because teams need to go build new stadiums, but the league needs new revenue. So you build a shiny new stadium, and more people want to go. I don't know if that always works out the right way, but that's kind of the thinking. You build a new stadium, more people will be interested in going to that stadium. But the bigger piece of the pie that comes from building new stadiums is stadium naming rights. There's three new stadiums going up right now. Obviously, the one in Oakland, we talk about, are in Las Vegas for the Oakland Raiders, or soon to be ex-Oakland Raiders. The one in Los Angeles, and then lastly, is there a third one going up? Oh no, the Chargers are going to end up sharing a stadium, so they don't have been building their own stadium. But the biggest thing that comes from these new stadiums is the naming rights. Think about what Mercedes-Benz spent. I think they spent $300 million on the naming rights. It's obviously over a period of time, I think 15 years. The new L.A. stadium is going to have a $400 million naming rights. So all of this new money comes into the NFL. Not to mention, with the likely adoption nationwide soon, I think, of gambling, of sports gambling, There's a play for the NFL to bring in gambling money. Now, we kind of talk about gambling a little bit. BT is more into this than I am. But gambling is an enormous business. And if the NFL gets a piece of that pie, then league revenues will get much closer to $25 million or $22 million, their stated goal, than any other way that they can increase revenue. The international play, all those other things, that doesn't really mean anything. But if you can include gambling revenue into NFL revenue, it gets big really, really quickly. And in fact, there's a story about Russell Wilson's contract, and why it was taking so long was because he wanted it tied to future revenues of the NFL. He didn't want it based on the current salary cap, which is $177 million, I believe, right now. He wanted it tied to future salary caps, because a salary cap is going to explode really, really soon. So as I think about this 18-game schedule news that you keep seeing, I hear it, and I hear the backlash, and oh, a safety issue, and guys don't want to play 18 games. Well, they're playing 20 games anyways. If they could play 18 and get more money, this wouldn't be an issue at all. You're going to get a lot of distractionary talking about the players are going to strike here, or the players really want the commissioner to loosen some of his power on punishing them for substances of abuse, which is mostly marijuana. This marijuana policy has to change. Too many guys are doing it. We just heard Chris Long, who retired about a week and a half ago, talking about how he smoked marijuana for most of his career as a way to manage pain and anxiety and all these other benefits that come from smoking marijuana. And so there's all of these things that are, they don't mean anything. They're distractionary. At the end of the day, the biggest driver for success in this upcoming labor negotiation is going to be money. It's going to be which piece of the pie do the players get and which piece of the pie do the owners get. And the last CBA, the one that started with the lockout in 2011, the players were distracted from all of that. That's not happening again. I think DeMaurice Smith is too smart to do that. And I think the players have seen way too much growth in income in other sports, whether it's hockey or baseball, and certainly basketball, to just get stuck not seeing salary appreciation in their sport. So it's a lot of noise that we hear about this 18-game schedule and how it's going to be this big point of contention. But I honestly don't – I think that's the least of the worries. And to be honest with you, I would love to see 18 games. It's more football. It's more interesting. It's more compelling when guys have to play a little bit deeper into the season. And games mean more. Those preseason games, which are frustrating to watch. I know that they serve a purpose, but they're frustrating to watch because there's just not, it's not real football. But as a fan, if you're going to those games, you're paying regular price. You know, you're not getting a regular season football game. D-Cell, would you mind seeing 18 games? Would it bother you if the NFL went to 18 games?
It wouldn't bother me, but I'm not clamoring for it. Yeah. But it wouldn't bother you me,
would,
though.
I don't think people would notice, right? Maybe if you're a season ticket holder and you go every day, but think about the majority of the country who don't actually go to football games. They sit and they watch football games in their living room or they go to a bar. I think having two extra weeks of football is not going to change their enjoyment of football. It's interesting. I say, what about you, Samter?
Well, here's my question. If you were to add two more games,
yes,
are you adding it to the end of the season or the beginning? Are you starting the season sooner or are you ending the season later? Are we having now a end of February Super Bowl?
I think it's a later Super Bowl. I think
because February is a fairly dead month in general, unless there's the Olympics.
So think about this. What are we seeing in other sports? Oh, really, I guess it's purely just basketball. If baseball doesn't. They don't do a ton of promotion. It's weird. Like baseball is interesting. They don't try to capture the calendar. Basketball captures the calendar. How many times have we talked about this? Right. This, whether it's free agency, whether it's the finals, which are take forever. The playoffs take forever. The regular season, the trade deadline. Like there's so much noise and talk about NBA. They capture a lot of the calendar. BT and I talk about this all the time. The NFL, once the season ends, there's a little bit of a 3-month respite where you're not really talking football. It's why the Alliance for American Football tried to fill that void. It's why the XFL, which is coming in 2020, is also going to try to fill that void because there's no football, right? There's no talking point. There's no vehicle to have America's favorite sport discussed. So to answer your question, Samter, I think they push it back. Into late February, we start having the Super Bowl, maybe even March, which means that as soon as the season ends, you're immediately talking about the NFL Combine. It's almost like 2 or 3 weeks. You're talking about the Combine and then ultimately about the NFL Draft. And so it captures a lot more of the calendar. The interesting thing that I think would happen, though, if the NFL did go to 18 games and push it back, the XFL fails. Seriously, because you're not worried about the XFL if the XFL is supposed to start in mid-February. You don't care about the XFL right now, and the season ends at the end of February, and then you're right into the combine, and the XFL will fail because there's not going to be a void. It's actually really interesting. I don't know if there's a partnership with the XFL and the NFL that the details haven't been conveyed. But there is some sort of connection, obviously, because they're playing in a lot of the cities and stadiums that have NFL teams. But if the 18-game season happens and it gets pushed back, I think these spring leagues, this idea of a spring league kind of goes away. The NFL captures more of the season. And I think fans and players, especially if they're getting paid more, they won't mind one bit. Football at the 40 is coming up on the other side of the break. Let's get an update from Richard Ackerman.
Tiger Woods shoots to tie the record for 82 PGA Tour wins at Jack's Tournament, the Memorial, presented by Nationwide this weekend, exclusively and only on CBS. Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. What's the standings right now at the Memorial? Do we have any idea? Sam, did you get a chance? Just take a look real quick. I know Tiger was 3 under,
I believe. He's now 4 under. He's just birdied two of his last three holes.
Where is he sitting? Top 15? 20?
So he's actually now tied for 16th at 4 under, 5 shots off the lead, which is Martin Keimer. Kyung-hoon Lee and Troy Merritt are at -9.
Nice. Something to keep an eye on over the course of the weekend. You can watch it on CBS, as always, with golf. We love CBS and the golf that they provide us. Football at the 40s coming up. Sam, are you ready? Let's go.
40-yard kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
So the number one pick of the NFL draft is in camp. He's throwing, he's moving, and of course, that means ridiculous comparisons to ridiculously accomplished players. So according
it's
to...
It's all nonsense. It's all nonsense.
According to Christian Kirk, his young wide receiver, comparing him to none other but than the reigning MVP, Patrick Mahomes, saying, quote, "You could compare it to that. He's very unique. I've talked about it before. Everyone knows what he can do with his legs, but what he's able to do with his arm and just the way it comes out of his hand, it's never a duck. It's always a tight spiral."
Yeah, look, Kyler Murray has got the mechanics, excellent mechanics to throw the ball. It's why leading into this draft, you knew he was going to be the number one overall pick, not only because of Cliff Kingsbury's system, but because he's a precise thrower. Like there's a conciseness with how he releases the football. And it's when he's in the pocket, but it's also when he's running, which is exactly how Pat Mahomes is. Now, let's just keep in mind that you're going to hear a lot of platitudes thrown at these quarterbacks. We already heard this with Dwayne Haskins and his OTA, and he might win that job in Washington for Jay Gruden's Redskins squad. We heard it with Daniel Jones, despite the draft day ire of Giants fans, which was misguided and stupid. He actually looked really good in the minicamp, or the OTAs, I should say. And even some people saying he looked better than Eli out there. And now we hear this about Kyler Murray. Guess what? Don't believe a word of it, because it means absolutely nothing. There is literally no pressure. And I mean that like as a football player. No pressure. There's no D tackle rushing down his gut. There's no rush in coming around to rip his head off. So take it with a grain of salt. They're running around in their underwear, as I like to say. No pads, no pressure. Anyone can look amazing doing pass skeleton without any threat of hitting you. With that being said, I do like Kyler Murray, and I do think he's going to have an excellent first year, especially because there's no tape on him in the NFL, and people are going to take a little bit of time to adjust.
One established quarterback who has made his name and won his own MVP trophy already, Cam Newton, he had off-season shoulder surgery. That's tough. Off-season shoulder surgery.
Off-season shoulder.
Yeah, it's not... She sells seashells by the seashore.
Did you do that on purpose?
No, I had to slow myself down to get that. Nice. Off-season shoulder surgery. Whew. But it turns out that Cam is, according to some who are watching and some reports, he's progressing ahead of schedule.
That's great.
And is already throwing a regulation-sized football. Remember how big of a deal this was when we were talking about Andrew Luck's recovery, how he could barely throw a smaller-sized football when he was struggling through it. But now he's actually getting to a point, Cam Newton is, throwing a regulation-sized football. he's going to potentially be able to throw during minicamp.
Wow.
And now based on some of the expectations, he should be good to go for training camp, is what they're hoping and thinking.
Yeah, look, and that's all well and good. He's going to, you know, all quarterbacks wear that red jersey anyways. He's going to be wearing like six on top of each other red jerseys. Don't even think about touching Cam Newton. We remember the mini controversy. I was just down in North Carolina for the Charlotte Touchdown Club. They had an event. I was their first speaker of the year. It was actually a lot of fun. But they were talking about some QB controversy potentially brewing because of the health, or lack thereof, of health Cam Newton, and the fact that they drafted Will Greer. Like, hey, well, Will Greer's going to push Cam Newton. That's not happening. This is a good sign for the Carolina Panthers. Obviously, the game plan for Cam has changed over the last couple of years. A lot of their receivers are those crossing route receivers, and obviously Christian McCaffrey coming out of the backfield. So he's not pushing the ball down the field. He's not like Andrew Luck. You know, remember, Andrew Luck's skill set is deep throws downfield. It started with Bruce Arians when he was the offensive coordinator for the Colts. So Andrew Luck likes throwing the ball downfield. Cam Newton, that's not the game plan. So he, in theory, you know, should be able to play sooner because there's not as much strain and stress in the game plan for the Carolina Panthers. It's a good sign for them.
Not a good sign for D-Cell, who just had off-season soldier surgery. So I think he's mixing up those H's. It's harder than it sounds.
You're right. It is actually harder than it sounds.
So our guy Peyton Manning, we all talked and heard all the reports about potentially getting the Monday Night Football gig and then getting the Jets gig.
Yep.
Well, Peyton says not only did he not ever get contacted by the Jets, but he's just not quite ready to step into a GM role.
Yeah.
He also said it's just not the right time in his life either to get involved in
Monday Night Football. When this came up, this is exactly what I said. Peyton and his wife, Ashley, have 8, maybe 9-year-old twins right now. And he's at that age. They're at that age where they're really impressionable. And so spending time with them and after the early part of their life, he was immersed in the NFL. I mean, when they were like 0 to 4 years old, he was the superstar. He was the man. And knowing Peyton as I know Peyton, it wasn't like during the season he was taking days off. Peyton grinds. Peyton grinds like a coach. It's why he was as great as he is. And so when you leave that, and you have aspirations for different jobs and different professions, whether it's owning a team, as some people have said, he and his wife Ashley are also minority owners in the Memphis Grizzlies, or getting involved in a front office, it's a serious commitment that costs a lot. The trade-off is your family life. So I think it will happen at some point. He will get involved in something major in an organization, again, whether it's ownership or management operations. But I think it is going to be a couple of years before he commits to it. And let's also not forget, it's got to be the right opportunity. As interesting as the Jets are, there's a little bit of, you know, Jetsness about the Jets.
So here's a question for you. If you had to look into your crystal ball and think ahead, what is the most likely spot for Peyton down the road? Owner, GM, on-air personality?
Not on-air personality. I don't see that being interesting to him. I'm going to say executive, not necessarily the GM, but probably ownership executive. Could be in Nashville too.
So good news out of Baltimore, Earl Thomas, the perennial Pro Bowler, who's missed a lot of time with injury and has looked a little bit slower and older.
Yeah.
Along with those injuries, apparently looks great so far in Ravens camp. Coach John Harbaugh said he's had a great week, great anticipation, a great ability to cover ground, shows up in the right spots on a regular basis. His skill has never been doubted. It's just a matter of whether or not he can stay healthy.
Yep.
So the question for you is, whether or not they bring in Gerald McCoy, can the Ravens defense be as good as it was last year, losing some pieces and picking up a guy like Thomas?
I mean, there was, I'll call it institutional greatness there with T. Suggs, who, interestingly, they thought he would take less to stay there. But, I mean, come on, you're in your last paycheck. You're not taking less if you're T. Suggs, so he's not there any longer. Earl Thomas has just turned 30. May 7th, he hit 30. So he's still got time left in his prime, I would say. And I hope this works out for him. But you worry about guys who over the last 3 years has played four. This is going backwards. 4, 14, and 11. Injuries. Once injuries start to creep in, it really gets dicey now. But there is a commitment here. 4 years, $55 million. I don't know what the exact details of that contract are. But I'm sure there are outs pretty quickly if things should go awry with him. But it's a good deal, I think, for both sides here, especially after they moved on from Eric Weddle. So it just fits. And I think it works for Earl Thomas, and it works for the Baltimore Ravens.
We discussed a couple days ago that the Ravens are also changing their offense. Did not necessarily check with Lamar Jackson to see what he wanted to do.
They don't have to. He's only in his second year.
Not even
year.
Checking, but just consulting with him to see what works best within his skill set.
He's still moist behind the ears.
Oh, I hate that word.
I know you do. That's why.
Oh, that word is the worst. And honestly, it's not just me. I've seen articles written about people who hate that word. It's like a phobia. There's something about it, and I don't know what it is, but I hate that. Ugh. All right, I don't even know if I can get it. D-cell, keep going. Now, anyway, so owner Steve Bisciotti spoke to reporters the other day, and he discussed the change in offense, saying, quote, "I think you'll be pleasantly surprised that Lamar is not going to be running 20 times a game.
Yep.
That's not what this offense is all about. Is it a good thing for the Ravens to stop Lamar Jackson from running as often as he does?
No, it's not a good thing. They averaged 300 yards a game last year on the ground when he was running the ball. He's such a difference maker. Again, this could be smoke and mirrors. It could be something just to throw off teams as they try to prepare for Lamar Jackson. But his completion percentage hovers around 59%. It goes all the way back into college. It was the same thing. And a lot of that was because the system he ran at Louisville was actually a down-the-field throwing offense. It wasn't, you know, the bubble screens that you see in that Oklahoma Sooners offense. It wasn't that. It was him looking downfield, trying to keep plays alive with his legs, taking off if he had to, but throwing into tight windows, which is hard to do. Now, can he do it at a consistent level on the NFL? That's to be seen. There's a lot to learn how to when you try to prepare quarterbacks to do that. But I do think he will run, just not as much, but it won't be significantly less.
This is actually a pretty sad story. New Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Nick Foles.
I saw this, yeah.
He missed a couple days of OTAs for some personal reasons that nobody was really aware about. Turns out that his wife, Tori, suffered an unfortunate miscarriage.
Yeah.
We know that Nick is a very he's a man of God,
yep, very
has
religious.
High faith. New quarterback there in Jacksonville. Obviously a very tough personal situation. As a player who's dealt with personal things on and off the field, is it better to, because now he's back at OTA, he's back at practice. Is it easier when you're going through something difficult?
It's better to be around. I think the this happened with Plexico Burris when I was with the Giants, and you know, he jovial, outgoing. Plex is awesome, and when this happened with him, it was hard, man. He turned into a shell of who he was. But being around the guys who were obviously there to support you and lift you up, and he doesn't know them that well, obviously, because he's only been there for a couple of months now. But I think getting back to normality is the best thing that happens. Obviously, our thoughts and prayers go out to Nick Foles and his family and his loss of their would have been second child. They do have a daughter, I believe, that's 4 or 5 years old.
Jets defensive tackle Steve McClendon, who played with Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh. We talked about OBJ not being at Browns camp and, of course, Le'Veon not being at Jets camp. He discussed Le'Veon not showing up at OTAs.
I know there's been a lot of people saying, why is he not here? Because he was paid. And listen, man, he's not an all-pro or a Pro Bowl running back for no reason. Sometimes people prepare differently. Will we love him? Yes. I talked to him, and I told him, I said, you understand, this place is different than Pittsburgh. I said, man, you need to get back and let you, so you can understand the quarterback and the situation. And he was like, man, I've been talking with him. I said, listen, that's not my business then. You handle your business. Whenever it's time you get back and you do it.
So more important for Le'Veon to be with his new Jets teammates or OBJ to be with his new Browns teammates?
I'm going to say OBJ. With the Browns, simply because a quarterback wide receiver relationship is so much harder to develop than a running back, offensive line relationship, especially with a guy like Le'Veon who's non-traditional. Right? But if it was me, I think I would need to be there because I was dependent upon knowing, you know, where is this hole going to open up? How is this trap block? What's it going to look like? Let me see it. in real time so that I can get my timing right. And that's with my footsteps and my drops and everything else. Le'Veon doesn't run that way. Le'Veon has this dead leg hesitation that he uses that's so effective. Maybe it's important for the offensive line to get used to him, but I don't know if it's necessary for him to get used to the offensive line, if that makes sense. I do believe the Odell Beckham unexplained absence from the Browns offseason workouts is actually more troubling in the long run.
That was Football at the 40 with Kiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
There's a bunch of free agents this summer, and some who aren't quite free agents, but they will be traded places, like Anthony Davis. Jimmy Butler is in that list as well, the five Ks we like to talk about. But is Kawhi, with this postseason run, in particular what he did in Game 1 against the Golden State Warriors, and it wasn't scoring 50, but what he did in Game 1, is that making him the most valuable commodity in the NBA this summer? We'll discuss it on the other side. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.